When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, hot diggity damn, it's the night before SummerSlam, and it is a Friday Night Delight. Wrestling Inc. presents you the SmackDown After Show, and I'm Flippable Boyce, and I'm being joined by, what are you reading, George? What?
The American Dream, baby. Reflections of an American Dream by Dusty Rhodes. By the way, was that like a, did you tell me you like that came up off the top of the dome? Top of the dome.
It does. So, I do like
hot diggity damn. Time for SummerSlam.
Yeah, I like saying hot diggity, but everything else is pretty much off the dome. I'm just surprised what you're reading. Like, I feel like it's always a magazine, but that's an actual book.
Yeah, it's got pictures and everything.
Wow. Hey, question. If you do audiobooks, does that count as reading a book? Who knows?
So I have this conversation all the time with people, and I say no. Tell me you listen to the book, but don't tell me you read the book.
Oh wow. I didn't know it's like a hard line. Hard line with that, but yeah, for some reason the Wrestling Inc. producers put you and I together because it's the SmackDown before SummerSlam, my favorite pay-per-view of the year. In fact, we'll be back here tomorrow to cover the actual after show, with coverage starting in the afternoon with us going right after it. But before we get into all that stuff, SmackDown is on deck. Question, overall thoughts, SmackDown, you were a fan of the show before? Are you a fan of the SmackDown before PLEs?
Oh yeah, I miss it, man. Let me tell you something, and I'm gonna start rambling.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Because this is what we do. I don't want to say nothing will ever beat, because forever is a long time. But man, when it was back in the day, when it was Friday SmackDown from the arena, when it was Saturday NXT Takeover from that same arena, and then the pay per view Sunday, and then Raw on Monday. Like, what a great weekend. I remember when they were in LA for Survivor Series 2018, I went to SmackDown NXT Survivor Series. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. That was when they were still doing, SmackDown on Tuesdays. It wasn't on Fridays yet. So it was NXT Survivor Series. I didn't go to Raw, but I went to SmackDown Live when it was on Tuesdays. And yeah, it was really, really cool. So this kind of goes back to it a little bit. Obviously, they have this little gap, or it's a 2-day thing now, right? Where it's not, the whole weekend. Now they're pretty much in some other completely random place on Monday. They're not even doing anything on Sunday anymore. But either way, I kind of dig these shows. But with that said, now let's be completely honest. I don't like to lie to anybody. I don't like to lie to myself. I don't like to lie to you.
Lie to me,
it is a different element when it's overseas.
Oh, you're saying American fans suck.
Fans aren't as appreciative. I don't want to hear this excuse about, they never get the PLEs in France. They never get PLEs in Puerto Rico. They probably will a lot more now. But even going back to like when they came back to the finally like a live audience after the COVID,
right?
Like, yeah, the crowds were hot. COVID. the crowds were hot, but like, man, you guys should have been a lot hotter considering how long it's been since we've seen a WWE live event. So with that said, fun, but still very disappointing when it comes to these PLE crowds that we're used to seeing on a regular basis.
I feel like
overseas.
I think it's a culture thing. I think Americans, when we go to the entertainment thing, we say, all right, entertainment, whatever it is, entertain me, because you and I are both baseball guys. You know, you ever watch Korean baseball or Japanese baseball? It's a whole different animal than how we watch the game. I think the same thing translates for American.
I don't know, man, because I can sit back and watch the Avengers Endgame audience reaction on a loop on a regular basis on YouTube, and that's a hot crowd. Like, that's a crowd that's invested, and I'm sure that's I don't even know if that's an American crowd or not, but like it goes to show, like, if it really does mean something. Like, I'm not knocking WWE in any way, but yeah, I think it does go back that we have the potential, but I think wrestling, American wrestling fans are very, very spoiled.
Well, that's why me and Jack Farmer are part of the American announced team.
And where can I get that shirt?
Oh, you can totally get the shirt over at floatbeto.threadless.com. It's the draped in gold official merchandise. Learn more at drapedingold.com. But that's not the point. We have some news, man, from the desk of Wrestling Inc., the premier wrestling publication on the internet. What's going on this week, my friend?
What is going on? So I'm looking up the website, but I guess I keep misspelling it. The first site, this one's kind of tickled my fancy when I first saw this headline on Wrestling Inc. Ben Affleck may play WWE Hall of Famer on the big screen. By the way, Ben Affleck was the bomb in Phantom. Just wanted to throw out there. But PW Insider reports, you know, through Wrestling Inc. or Wrestling Inc. through PW Insider, now reports that a screenplay based on Hogan's 2013 lawsuit with Gawker has been circulating in Hollywood. That's news to me, picking up considerable steam and is expected to move forward in the coming days. The film Killing Gawker is currently tied to Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. Those guys are still friends.
You don't want them to be friends? Are you over it?
Friendships. And I happy that I have friends like that around me and myself. But production company Artist Equity with a product perspective January 2025 launch. But essentially it's saying that Affleck would play Matt Damon would play Peter Thiel, billionaire. Oh. Affleck would play Hulk Hogan.
What?
Yeah, I mean, and it's crazy because I saw the headline and I'm like, oh wait, are you talking about that Chris Hemsworth, Todd Phillips movie that they've been talking about for like 5 years? But yeah, Apparently completely different. This is essentially surrounding around Gawker. Everybody kind of remembers Gawker for I guess leaking that video that wasn't too favorably on Hulk Hogan, that had a lot of people, you know, we don't need to re-talk all about that. And that's a whole
lot. Sure? Because
I mean, we could. Let's just say Booker T, didn't have a happy face when he saw him. And in some ways, whether we like to admit it or not, it looks like it has maybe tarnished in some ways Hogan's not so much his legacy, because I personally don't think I think he's still up there in terms of a wrestler. But it's kind of like when he does come back, it's like, oh, this guy again. You know, what else does he have to offer? Like, we've, you know, been there, done that. And who knows if that would be the feeling if that didn't happen back in 2015 when it got leaked and then he got essentially fired from the Tough Enough panel.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hulk Hogan being fictionalized is always going to be a good time. You know, the real Hulk Hogan is going to be like, oh, they came to me, brother. I told them down. But I can't wait to see how that turns out. Ben Affleck, that's the crowd here, the chat. I got to give a shout out to the chat right now. You got Hamid, you got Robert Smith, you got Ricky Sinclair was the first one here. Todd Colvin, what's going on? Tuck Graff, Kenny Barcenas, and the Wrench crew, Ricky Saldivar. So let me know what you think about Ben Affleck being in the wrestling space.
To
me,
what do you think about it?
Of Hogan or Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck playing Hogan.
I think the Gawker story is definitely something that is interesting. And it needs to be told. I'm not sure of the casting, but frankly, I understand how Hollywood works. If the person with the money is like, I'm in it, I go over, brother, then that's totally fine. I would not have casted Ben Affleck anywhere near that. But, you know, if he's the one who's making a movie, then why the heck not?
Because when we heard first of that Hulk Hogan biopic that was, you know, dealing with, you know, the early 80s or his early career, and we saw Chris Hemsworth being announced, like, okay, that kind of works, because Chris Hemsworth, needless to say, looks fantastic without a shirt. So that kind of made sense when it came to you know, playing the physique. But Ben Affleck, we've never really known him to be as a body guy. You know, granted, he played a couple superheroes, but those superheroes weren't necessarily known to be, you know, physically top tier shape. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. Clearly.
Whoa, hold the phone. Jose says, George, where's the trivia?
Tomorrow.
Whoa, we don't get trivia tonight? Am I not worthy enough for George Ramos the trivia?
Tomorrow.
What is
tomorrow?
Is this a gimmick I'm not even aware of? What's going on?
Yeah, the sun will come out tomorrow as well as a trivia.
It's weird because usually if you can't make a show, I slide in for you. So I haven't seen the trivia firsthand. So
I'm fine. I'm going to come. Let me finish the headlines and I will come up with a trivia on the spot. And that's how good I am when it comes to the wrestling stuff up here.
Look, Jose was asking for it. I mean, it's fine if you're not ready tonight. It's cool if you give me the whole heel, but not tonight. It's fine. I'm just saying. Jose was asking about it. I asked you. I'm just saying. What else is going on this week?
What else is going on? See, now I'm heated. The son of WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry has been signed by the WWE. Nepo baby! WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry's son, Jacob Henry, has been signed to the WWE. Jacob made the announcement during Mark's DJ set at the Remix Rumble event. The Remix Rumble event.
DJ set? Mark Henry was in the ones and twos?
Apparently. And I'm asking, when are we going to get a Remix Rumble in the LA with Flobo Boyce up on the turntables?
I know Jack Farmer probably take my whole gimmick.
So, you know, yes, he is a Nepo baby, but at the same time, he is a very accomplished athlete. Jacob has signed with the University of Oklahoma wrestling team at the start of the year. He also played football, track and field sports. So he seems to be a chip off the old block as he showcased his impressive strength last year when he squatted 610 pounds. So it's not just some J-Brone coming in. It really is somebody who is an accomplished athlete. And if it's any indication on how his father was, especially during that Hall of Pain era, then they got a nice little future stud coming into the WWE one of these days.
Yeah, you know, legacy talents are always great. We're talking about second, third, fourth generation talents in the case of Ava over on NXT. So I'm excited about that. But let's be real. Mark Henry has like one of the best scouting eyes for the business. Remember Bianca Belair got the call. So why not? You know what I mean? If that's the case, then maybe he might be hitting pay dirt.
It is. I think the bigger story is because we saw something interesting happening like 20 years ago, right? Where you had, I remember like it was yesterday, you go to WWE.com, and this was when TNA was around. Jeff Jarrett was running things. Jerry Jarrett had a big hand in what was happening in TNA. But you go into the WWE.com website, and let me know in the chat if anybody remembers this. But you go to the WWE.com, and then you see on the front page a picture of Jerry Jarrett and a guy who we now know as Vladimir Kozlov. And that was kind of a big story at the time because, like, wait, why is Jerry Jarrett bringing somebody who we think would be a great sign to the WWE? Why doesn't he bring him to TNA and Jeff Jarrett? So that, to me, is a bigger story nowadays because, you know, I know Mark Henry isn't really tied to AEW anymore, but he was there for, like, a good 3-4 years. How long has he been trying to get his son in the wrestling business, and why didn't AEW have any kind of, you know, maybe first say when it comes to maybe getting him involved in the wrestling business?
Well, that's a good point. I never thought about that. I figure that you want to go into the ecosystem of the Performance Center, but that's a very valid point. But AEW being part of Mark Henry's late stage career.
Yeah. And it goes, I mean, they're not afraid to kind of get some of these guys that maybe aren't necessarily, and again, this is not a knock. I don't.
Man, you not going to knock.
No, because things get so misinterpreted just because I name somebody, but this isn't a knock. I'm strictly spitting facts. With the way it is, but my point is, we've seen like a Brock Anderson, we've seen like a Hook essentially get signed by AEW without essentially much experience. Now again, great talent. I'm sure, you know, the future is very, very bright for these guys. But again, you know, was this something that Mark Henry had in the back of his mind saying like, man, I know I can get him into AEW, but we all know that WWE has a higher ceiling when it comes to, you know, how far somebody's career can go. So that to me is a bigger story that's not really getting mentioned or in the news cycle of Mark Henry's son signing with the WWE.
Hey, if I'm 20 years old, the trump card that WWE has is the Performance Center. And I know AEW can have their own, and I'm sure they are working on that, but I do think that the Performance Center, just by going by this and what Joe Hendry was saying this week, this like whole hive of just other workers to feed off of and ask questions and get training from, I mean, that's definitely the edge, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it should be fun. I mean, it should be. I'm a big fan of these kind of legacy type type talents when it comes to like seeing not just continuing on their family's legacy, but really building their own. It's always like kind of a double-edged sword in terms of like you have on one hand you had Bray Wyatt and a Bo Dallas that literally, oh yeah, that is Mike Rotunda's son. Oh yeah, I would have never thought so. Like, you know, they're not exactly going by Bray Rotunda or Bray Shyster, you know. Right. But then you have a Ted DiBiase.
Bray Shyster,
right? then you have like a Ted DiBiase where he literally could have went by any other name, but they decided to go with Ted DiBiase, not even a junior, just Ted DiBiase. And there was a lot of like, oh well, you know, he's nothing like his dad. Yeah, they gave him the $1 million belt for a little bit. But you know, I thought sky's the limit was for this guy, but you know, things just didn't work out. To the point where the biggest star that's coming out of Legacy is Cody Rhodes. So again, it goes to show like we wait and see when it comes to, let's see how some of these second generation or third generation talents do when it comes to getting that spotlight.
Absolutely. And it can have varying degrees of success, but you always gonna wish the best for them. Is that all for news? Or we got something else going on?
We have one more. Do you have a passport, Flobo?
I do.
Let's go to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada for the Survivor Series.
That's my least favorite pay-per-view of the year. Why would I go to that?
Oh, sorry,
I ruined your bit. Yes, let's go.
I mean, I didn't really have a bit. But I mean, I think it's going to be maybe one of the most anticipated shows because we're all predicting the Bloodline War Games. So it looks like Vancouver is going to be home to the Vancouver War Games or to the Bloodline War Games. I'm still thinking it's going to be Solo, Tama and Tonga, and Jacob going up against Roman, Jimmy J, and the honorary Oos.
No.
Sami Zayn.
No.
Oh, come on. You don't think that'd be just absolutely fantastic?
A year ago, maybe. Yeah.
It's the honorary Oos. You come in, it's 4 against 3, and then, you know, you got Jay, yo, let me call somebody. And then it doesn't have to be like the SmackDown or Raw before Survivor Series, but then you hear, you know, oh, here he goes, and then you hear the honorary Oos song. But then, like, I need to have this moment of Roman and Sammy in the same ring or in the same segment, just kind of being like, yo, Sammy, like, you're always a good one. Like, you were always the honorary Oos. Just remember, it wasn't me that turned on you. It was you that turned on me. Something to that extent of like, you know, you hit me with a chair. I didn't hit you with a chair. I don't know. I just feel like there is a lot of great storytelling that can be done when it comes to having the honorary Oos maybe somehow, some way, find himself, insert himself into maybe this babyface Bloodline 1.0, I guess we can call them. But yeah, Vancouver.
Survivor Series. So Survivor Series, I guess, is officially Survivor Series War Games, which I guess is fine, but further proof that Survivor Series is a dead concept. I'm just putting it out there. Vancouver, though, destination city. Would you have gone to Vancouver without a wrestling event? Does this move the needle for you to come visit that city?
1,000% absolutely not.
What?
One, you don't even have a baseball team.
Fair.
Two, the Grizzlies didn't want to even want to be there anymore to the point where they're like, you know what? We're going to go to Memphis instead.
That is not their fault.
And three, I'd rather go to Toronto.
I heard
Toronto's been a good place to be.
They didn't want even back there. You're fine.
Although based on previous shows, I will say Vancouver usually has the absolute hottest crowd. So if that's going to be an indication, any kind of indication on, you know, what we didn't see in Cleveland, is it's going to be great, great fun nights when it comes to Survivor Series weekend.
I like the fact that these events are going international, and it's kind of cool that if you want to go on a world tour WWE, you can. It is interesting, though. I felt like a generation ago, these pay-per-views were like decided 6, 8, 9 months in advance. You're just telling me, oh, by the way, 2 months from now, get your money together because you're going to Canada. It seems very like, who's going to these events, people with money, you know?
See, I have a trivia question, but I don't like to ask trivia questions that people can easily find on Wikipedia. Well, so I want people to really think off the top of the dome.
All right, hit me. What's
so question? I'm going to say we haven't seen a PLE pay-per-view in the U.S. since WrestleMania. That's a WrestleMania to SummerSlam gap.
Okay.
Okay. When was the last time we saw or we didn't see a WWE pay-per-view in the U.S. between WrestleMania and Survivor Series?
That feels like
it's what year?
Let's see. WrestleMania is 85. Survivor Series, what, 88? 89?
No, I mean, well, I guess 87 would kind of count, but I mean, that doesn't really count because it was like there was only like two pay-per-views that year, but post 87.
I'm going to say 89.
So 89 SummerSlam was in East Rutherford, New Jersey. So you are okay. Wrong.
Okay. All right. All right. So what's the answer? What year skipped SummerSlam? 87?
Tune in to the end of the show and you'll get your answer.
Oh, you're doing one of those? Oh, that's just clickbait.
By the way, I saw the name Ebony Washington. Do you know Jay Washington?
Like the Mad Titan, Jay Washington?
Is that his nickname?
Apparently.
Just big, thick black guy?
Yeah.
Do you know him at all?
I know him. Yeah.
Like know him or just like know him?
So it's kind of a moot point. But here in Los Angeles, there's like three professional wrestling comedians that happen to be black. That worked in the industry, and it's Jay Washington, myself, or Alpha Kanua, and we've always got confused for everyone else. In fact, I've replaced Alpha Kanua on this network, so everyone was like, hey, you sound like Alfred, or you remind me of Jay Washington. So, yes, I'm familiar with them. It's kind of like...
I only said that because I went to Blaze... By the way, this, we're going to talk about SmackDown at some point. I went to Blaze Pizza, and I see this big, thick black guy walk in, and it had a shirt that says Black Wrestling Matters or something to that extent, right? Black Wrestlers okay. Matter or something like that. Or Black, they something do. To that extent, right?
Sure.
And so I was like, oh, shit, that's the... And it's funny, like, I look, hey, like, man, I like your shirt. And then he's like, oh, thanks. And I'm like, oh, wait, I think I was supposed to wrestle a match against you like 3 years ago. He's like, oh, yeah, what's your name? And I was like, and I told him my gimmick name. Oh, yeah, we were supposed to wrestle. Yeah, cool. And then we like, oh, what's up, man, Jay, George. And I was like, that's it. And then I left. But yeah, I ran into him today just randomly. But
yeah.
That's it.
All right, let's
and there's a guy by the name Martin Morrow that's black and is kind of involved in some kind of wrestling, but is also a comedian as well. So,
yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast. And a few years back, WWE sold a New Day themed kit where people could make unicorn horn shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles even without the kit. And get top-tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's get into SmackDown today, because So Cody Rhodes comes out, and he's all like, look, brother, I got some unfinished business with you, Solo. Solo comes out. Look, Cody does not acknowledge him as the rival chief. Everyone's been saying at the end of SummerSlam tomorrow that Roman Reigns will probably be beating Cleveland. Do you agree with this?
I think he will be. I mean, we'll get into predictions, but if I have to choose one scenario,
which one?
I'm going to say that Roman does come back, but this whole bloodline rules really adds another wrinkle to what we're going to see.
Does it though? I feel like bloodline rules was kind of like a non-issue at WrestleMania.
Well, non-issue because Cody had all these friends, but where's all his friends now?
Oh, fair enough.
So I don't know. It's interesting. We'll talk a little bit more about it in the predictions, but it's time. It's time for Roman to come back.
Is it really? You think it's not being rushed?
No, dude, it's been like 4 months already. What do you mean being rushed? Like a year from now?
Yes, I get that. But what I'm saying is we don't really know the difference between Tongaloa or Jacob Fatu. They're just kind of like, oh, they're mean guys. And so there haven't been character development on their end, you know?
I want to say, I'll get to the end of the show. But
just get to it now.
No, I want to say they should change your name so El Hijo de Islanders.
I hate it. What? They're not even. They don't speak Spanish. Why would they say El Hijo?
Because I don't know how to say the son of the Islanders in Samoan or Tongan.
So random.
Well, because you know you can't say it. You can't say the Samoan term. You can't say the Tongan term. So they just go old school. They just go El Hijos de Islanders.
Islanders 2.0.
No, El Hijo de Islanders.
They're not Spanish, or they don't speak Spanish.
They'll know. They know what "hijo" means.
Well, Danny Cochran loves this idea. He goes, "Boo!"
Are you saying "boo" or "boo earns"?
I think he was saying "boo." Okay. Not even "boo earns." Shout out to Hans Molman. But you're right. Bloodlines rules match is going to be inbound for tomorrow, which is interesting because the last time we saw that, it was at WrestleMania, and everyone showed up for that one. So kind
of cool. It's funny how like they're like, "Oh, we're gonna wait." So maybe I missed it. Who was the one that suggested bloodline rules? Solo, right?
It was Solo.
Why would he suggest a match that the bloodline is like 0-1 in?
I think it's supposed to be the whole leverage thing. Because you go back to WrestleMania, the first night was supposed to be a straight-up wrestling match, and that broke down. Yeah. And I feel like Bloodline Rules. And then we got Bloodline Rules Part 2. So maybe it was kind of like, I'm going to do what Roman couldn't do and beat down Cody with the rules enacted.
I mean, they've touched upon it before on that promo right before WrestleMania of last year, how Cody would tell Solo that he's just not ready. You know, he's just not ready for that big time yet. So I kind of like that they've kind of touched upon, you know, him acknowledging that he is somebody special now, but just not quite at the tribal chief's level.
Is he a fake tribal chief?
1,000%.
What's a real tribal chief actually do, though?
He's like the tribal counselor, you know?
Look, Roman was there, but no one ever told me what a tribal chief athlete does. Is it like a comptroller position? Is it a desk job?
He's the head of the table.
What table? What do you actually do?
The table.
Right, but what do you actually do?
You can't tell
me Roman does it better if we don't know what Roman actually does.
Okay, first off, when Roman was the tribal chief, they were on top of the world. They had all the championships. They pretty much ran WWE all day, every day, and that's when he was tribal chief. That's when he was ahead of the table. I think it's a pride thing. Cause I mean, I always liked that when he first came back and he was facing Jay, and Jay was like, oh, I'm going to be Universal Champion. And Roman kind of took that personal. He was like, you're trying to, you know, take my spot as the main provider of this dynasty. I feel like that's what maybe the tribal chief head of the table is, just being the provider and being the guy that really, you know, controls everything. But they still answer to the elders. They still like, well, the elder said this.
The elder disappeared because the elder sent Solo, and that hasn't been addressed. But that is a different issue entirely. But we got to move on for the sake of time because we do see the Bud Light later on today. But we did also see Carmelo Hayes back at the barbershop, this time by himself, not hanging out with Trick Williams, obviously, saying that, look, you beat me once, Andrade, but that was an off night for me. I'm going to submit my legacy. Andrade, Carmelo Hayes, the match was pretty solid. But again, El Idolo gets the dub. Now, I can ask you about the match, but the question I have on my mind is, will Carmelo ever retain the aura he had on NXT?
I 1,000% think that he will. Forever is a long time. He just showed up like 6 months ago on the main roster.
Okay.
You know, it's like, you know, when we see, if we see the same Carmelo Hayes, if we see the same Carmelo Hayes in 2 years, then I feel like, okay, well, we need some kind of progress in of his story, but and his character. But you know, they're still, you know, SmackDown's still pretty stacked, and I feel like it's only a matter of time before he finally becomes him once again.
Yeah. Do you drink Prime, by the way? I'm curious.
My lips have touched the Prime. Not for any kind of like weird reason. I just like, I don't really drink. I feel like it's like a Red Bull and I don't really touch energy drinks at all. So I'm kinda...
there's Prime. Okay. There's Prime Hydration, which is what they're advertising.
And so it's like, is that like a Gatorade?
Yeah. It's like a coconut water, B vitamin, whatever. No. And then there's also Prime Energy, which is an energy drink. So like, it got to depend what it is. But I'm just curious about that because Prime is the cannabis sponsor this weekend as well. I didn't know if you were all about that life.
Not the Prime, but I am about the other other sponsor's life.
Okay. Which one's that? Liberty Mutual or what?
Wingstop.
Oh, right. Andrade, man. I feel like he's been treading water as well. Was kind of flirting around with Legado, flirting with LWO. It's going out in his own. Gets the win tonight, but I worry about his direction moving forward. Thoughts about him?
How dare you disrespect the WWE Speed Champion?
He doesn't carry the title.
He is the champion of matches under 3 minutes.
Great. What does that actually mean in real life?
That means you are a fast finisher.
Congrats. I don't know how to take that.
He's champion of something.
Look, you cannot be the speed champion and I have any kind of recognition of it if you don't ever bring the title out to the ring when you're not defending it, right?
I mean, he's not defending it, so it's just extra weight.
Oh, man, come on. Well, anyway, thoughts about Andrade in the main roster?
I think he's great. I think he's fantastic. I want to see more of these matches, but I do always, and I have the same kind of worriness when it comes to all brands, all promotions. Is like, it's great to have great wrestling matches, but you know, I need something more. I need something. You know, I need a nice little storyline. I need a nice little character arc. I need a nice little rivalry, and I feel like we need to see that at some point, not just have great matches or a rivalry surrounding great matches. I need something a little bit more. I need some stakes involved. And, you know, I dig it. It's fun to watch, but I feel like there's never going to be that kind of elevation or those are going to be kind of a form of a ceiling if it's just nothing but great matches.
Well, you could argue that Carmelo getting rolled up is still grounds for having a resolution to their story. No?
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit. I just want to see a little bit. I want to see a little bit more. Like, you know, Daniel Bryan wasn't really Daniel Bryan until he was called a B-plus player. And it was that we're like, okay, well, now we're on to something. Now we can snatch on to something as far as a story and to get behind. And I feel like we're not going to see that if we keep seeing just great matches with, you know, good finishes.
Shout out to War Hero 99. He says, can you imagine if all main events were under 3 minutes? And that would be kind of fun if I was watching like an hour long show, like a Velocity. But imagine spending 2 hours on a SmackDown, 3 hours for a Raw, and the main event's in 100 and whatever seconds.
It's called the Attitude Era.
Yes. Watching those old SmackDown from 99, 2000s, all matches were like 2 minutes. And there's like 20 matches on a card. It was pretty bad.
Although I feel like they should change the name of the speed, the show, call the championship speed, but the show on Twitter should be called 3 minute warning. Did I just hear myself say 3 minutes? You remember three minute warning?
That was like 20 years ago. Kids don't know what that
was. 22 years ago.
Yes. And those people who are watching speed on Twitter are like less than 20 years old. They're kids.
Yes. So that's why what's new again, what's old is new again.
Don't do that. You're going to be like me watching Superstars in 94, seeing Nikolai Volkov. My dad be like, yeah, Nikolai Volkov's back. I'm like, who?
Dude, that story when he was like wrestling for change and he had, instead of the dollar sign, he had the cent sign on his tights.
Yeah.
That's great. That was great. I loved it. Although I do miss the old school.
I got to be honest with you. Pop culture is great, but we can't do references all the time. It cannot eat on itself forever.
Iron Sheik, the original Haktua.
I got to move on. I don't know. I don't know what a Haktua is. I don't want to explain what the heck that's going on. Yeah, Ricky St. Clair saying Umaga and a superhero in training. That was a good one.
Superhero is two words, by the way.
Yes, in this case, it would be. So Santos Escobar takes on Apollo Crews. And Apollo Crews, I'm still not sure. I asked on Twitter whether or not you can see in the future, but he didn't see this loss coming. Baron Corbin was ringside, couldn't stop the wave that is Santos, who has a mission to bring back Legado de Fantasma to prominence. George Hermosa, is he on his way of doing that right now?
I think so. See, this is something. This is something that I think the last match was missing. Because I'm loving that they're doing things with Apollo and Baron. I think Baron is one of the most underrated wrestlers of the last 10 years. Like that guy, really? Oh my God. Like the things that he was doing in NXT and just, I feel like he's going to be one of those underappreciated wrestlers until he's gone, until he's, you know, retired or whatever he wants to do. But yeah, I'm digging this. I'm digging Legado. I've always been a big fan of Legados del Fantasma. And yeah, I want to see more. I want to see Berto and Angel, you know, start maybe going after some tag team gold. And I do feel like this is the first step in that direction. I mean, they ain't going to be the Bloodline, but I do feel like when it comes the time, then, you know, there's going to be a time where they, you know, enter that tag team scene and they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I will say that when I heard that promo of Santos say we want to get back to prominence, I was like, oh yeah, good tag team would be good for them. But obviously that's going to be on the back burner going forward. But Apollo Crews, another one, is on the main roster for his fourth stint, I believe, or fifth, if memory serves, on the losing end of things. I know it's very early to say this guy is falling, but I'm a little worried he may be forever a bridesmaid when it comes to the fisticuffs on SmackDown.
I do think I was a big fan of that the Nigerian gimmick.
I hated that.
You didn't like it?
No, I did really? Not. I did not. I'm not Nigerian, so I can't speak for that aspect of it.
Yeah.
But Apollo Crews's appeal was that he was super athletic and he can do all these things, Uha Nation, stuff like that. When you tell him after 4 or 5 years in WWE to put on an accent and to wear a staff – and to bring a commander, basically alluding to the
Commander Aziz,
the wartime issues with some other tribes and nations are not necessarily Nigerian. I go, this was a pastiche in the worst possible way. I am not trying to bang my chest. I know wrestling is a visual art form. I know stereotypes are pretty much flattened for wrestling, but this was totally a creative misstep for Apollo. But the thing is, it got over, so I couldn't complain, but I'm so glad it was done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, former Intercontinental and U.S. champion. So
that's right, Ebony. She hated it too.
Two more championships, and he's a Grand Slam winner.
I just think that Apollo Crews will always be my Michigan J Frog. I tell people he's so dope, but you flip on an episode, he gets beat up, and you're just like, "Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey." Like, come on,
Apollo. Watch me on the WWE.
I'm just like, this guy was crazy, man. I mean, NXT Apollo was just a whole different thing altogether.
The thing with the eye was like weird.
Yeah.
But I dug him as a heel. I think there was something to that. I think it was maybe he didn't fully commit to the character, you know? Maybe he didn't need the accent. Maybe he just needed some kind of I just liked him being a heel. I liked him just doing something that was different than him just coming out Mr. Smiling every time. Because I feel like that really didn't get him over as much as the Nigerian gimmick did.
I agree. I think it was a character that worked. I just think that I didn't like it. I think it was kind of him being like, well, I'll just take what's given to me. But speaking of being taken what's given to me, let's break down this whole Logan Paul LA Knight thing in story. Because we know Logan Paul went on Twitter a couple days ago and went totally off the pale. But he has going to be a banner being raised. It was going to be fantastic because he's in his hometown, kind of, sort of. But it was the face with LA Knight comes out, tell him he ain't nothing, he's going to win the title, and takes the prime truck away. LA Knight seems to be the presumptive United States champion after tonight. We won't get to prediction until later on, but thoughts about this segment and this interaction between LA Knight and Logan Paul?
I thought it was great. You know, Logan Paul knows how to be a heel. And then again, I don't know if the original plan was like, oh, he's going to get a big babyface reaction. Like, because we've seen him get those kind of reactions when he fights in his hometown. Whether it's like, I think he's had a couple of boxing fights in Cleveland and whatnot. But again, this is wrestling. So, you know, it's all about the story. And it would be weird to kind of have somebody like an LA Knight get booed just a day before his U.S. championship match. But I thought they each played their roles great. I like, you know, them escalating that, you know, the yeah on the poster, on the banner. And yeah, I thought it was great. And I thought it cool, added a cool little element of LA Knight stealing the truck and then, you know, driving off. I thought it was a fun segment.
Yeah, I think it was better than a stare down. It was better than a contract signing. I think it totally hit what it needed to do. I'm not sure who the dignitaries were, but I guess it didn't matter. Hey, dignitaries 1 through 3. What's going on with you guys? Pretty solid stuff. Moving on, our women's tag team championships were on the line there with Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, the unholy union, taking on Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill never lost the titles. They never got pinned to lose the titles. They did lose it at Stand to Deliver in WrestleMania weekend. And it looked like they were going to be on pace to get their titles back. But Blair Davenport shows up to help out Isla Dawn and Alba Fire. NXT UK fans rejoice. It looks like it's now a trinity. But I want your thoughts about this exchange here today.
Well, I like the match because we were able to see glimpses, and you know for a fact, you know very, very well, on how good Alba Fire is. Like, she's phenomenal. And I like that we saw some glimpses on just how good she was, and it's only a matter of time before we end up seeing if they're going to stick with the tag team for a couple years, or if they're going to, at some point, she's going to branch off solo. But I'm happy that she was at least getting some opportunity to really go against this amazing team of Bianca and Jade. I didn't see them losing. Then I got into DIY losing.
Well, spoilers.
Yeah, but you know, I'm happy with the result. I'm happy that the Unholy Union still are champions. I thought they had a great match on Tuesday on NXT, and I'm happy that they're gonna keep it going and seeing what's next. It looks like these three apparently, like, the trio thing is a big thing in WWE, right?
Yeah, sometimes it's good to fill time. I think both promotions use that a lot, but the faction lust seems to be the common thing now in professional wrestling.
Yeah, I feel like it's the best way to kind of get people over, especially, you know, we got more boos for Blair Davenport than she's gotten in previous weeks when she's been on SmackDown since being drafted. Well, yeah,
you're stopping Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. Yeah,
no, that's what I'm saying. Like, so in this case, I think it works. Sometimes it does feel a little forced, like, okay, well, now they're three being together. But at least they're able to kind of really find a common ground. And I think that's something that WWE has an edge over other promotions. You know, everybody seems to be in some kind of stable or trio these days. But either way, I dug it. I think it's great. I want to see what the next step is going to be for Bianca and Jade. I hope they don't just kind of keep clamoring to go after the tag team championships. It does feel like it's been there, done that. So let's see what's next. I'd love to see a Jade heel turn at some point in the next couple months. And maybe that, yeah, and that building up toward that big WrestleMania match, maybe even the first ever WrestleMania match, for a one-on-one match for women that doesn't have a championship on the line. And I think that would be the perfect first for that event.
Why Jade being heel? I'm just curious.
I just think she'd be more natural as a heel, just kind of coming back. I think Bianca's too good to the point where I think people will love her. And I feel like people haven't really gotten to know Jade as much as a Bianca. So it's going to be a lot easier to hate the person that you don't know.
Right.
As opposed to somebody like a Bianca that, like, no, we love her. I don't want to boo her. We love her.
I get it. I guess if you put it that way, the actual heel turn seems a lot easier for Jade to be like, and a super kick to Bianca. But
yeah,
I don't know. I just feel like Bianca's been a face for 4 years now, or three, 4 years now.
I feel like I visualize seeing like Jade like on a throne, or kind of just sitting, just, you know, relaxing, just maybe with her peasants on her side. And I don't see Bianca doing that. I see Jade just playing up to that heel persona that we saw glimpses of in AEW, maybe bring back the baddies here and there, you know, and just I that's what I would love to see.
Where are you gonna find peasants in 2024? Are they just hanging out? Are they in Walmart? Like, what?
Yes. 1000%. I don't care how nice the city is. I still have yet to see a Walmart with I'll drop it. I don't want to insult anybody, but
I'm just saying, like, I was like, do you buy a peasant at a store? Don't get me in trouble now. I'm just saying, like, I like the idea, but her being on the throne seems almost too classic. Seems very 90s. Seems very, very King of the Ring, King of Queen of the Ring.
Yeah, situation. Maybe. I mean, but it's not like they're doing the King or Queen gimmick, right? We saw Gunther win, and, you know, I don't even think he wore the crown once. We saw Nia win, and then she just kind of references it here and there. I want to see somebody that has, like, just that, like, kind of like when Mandy was champion in NXT, and she would just kind of watch from afar. And then she'd have like Toxic Attraction, like something like that, like, where she's just there, she's just watching, and she's just kind of enjoying. Like you need to like cater to me, because I'm not going to cater. You need to come to me if you want a piece of this. And so I just feel like Jade would be more natural as a heel than Bianca.
Well, talking about it's not Danny Cochran, Peasants Are Us. If I got myself a club card for Peasants Are Us, I get a peasant anytime I want to. Speaking about doing your own thing, Tiffany Stratton gets her final custom briefcase. Looks pretty nice, right? Like pink, yeah. Do you?
I mean, I'd buy it.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, go on.
How do you feel about custom briefcases? I feel like that's kind of a trend now. And
I mean, shout out to RVD, who first did it back in 2006.
Okay, yeah. I will say yes, but I think the best briefcase had the Damian Sandow's, right? The leather one?
Yeah.
Damian Sandow with the leather briefcase? Ain't no one could top that.
What's the word I'm looking for when, like, they missed the boat on him? Is there a word? Or just words? Yeah, like when he got over as Damian Mizdow, and they just dropped the ball on that character, and just sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and that was a big L for the WWE.
Wow, didn't know Idol Stevens had that kind of fan section, but I'm inclined to agree. I think Damian Sandow and Damian Mizdow is pretty cool.
That said, I don't see Tiffany cashing in anytime soon, because I think there's money and, or at least a lot of visuals that can be done with her and the briefcase. That it just, like, really, you're only gonna have one day. Like, you need many, many different outfits and many, many poses with her and the briefcase coming for the next few months.
So it's not gonna be a Nia Jax situation.
I don't think so. No, I don't think she's gonna be cashing in anytime soon.
Fair enough. I mean, I see both sides of it. If Nia Jax, we'll get a prediction soon. If Nia Jax does win the championship, that'd be kind of a fun story between them. If she doesn't, I could see Tiffany inserting herself in the rematch. So that'd be kind of fun as well. But we have to get to our main event. This one here is for the WWE Tag Team Champions DIY. We are taking on the Bloodline of Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu. So Tonga Loa is not going to be involved in this matchup, or we thought.
Say their names.
And they'll appear.
El Hijos de Islanders.
El Hijos de Islanders are now our new tag team champions. DIY, our transitional champs. Didn't see this one coming.
I'm not going to say I didn't see it coming. I was afraid of it coming. What was it, like 3 weeks or so? Give some respect to DIY. And it just... like, it's wrestling. For anybody that sits there and says, like, oh, they should have been champions for a year, 2 years, like, yeah, that's easy to say, but, you know, this is a wrestling business. This is what you need. I remember, I want to say it was in the Hardy Boys book, that Matt Hardy was upset that they didn't win at TLC 2 at WrestleMania 17.
Okay.
And then they were like, well, what does it matter? Whoever wins is just going to end up losing to Undertaker and Kane in like 2 weeks. You know, yeah. And it's just like, he's like, I don't care. I just wanted to win at WrestleMania, you know, but it's just one of those things where, like, it gives them a lot more heat to beat DIY in Cleveland, as opposed to them beating A-Town Down Under in Cleveland. You know, like, you want to kind of maximize whatever it is that is given to you, and not just like, oh, like, let's just, you know, do it for nothing. Like you gotta, if they're going to be in Cleveland, what better way to give them more, you know, heel heat than beating them in Cleveland?
Here's a hot take. Well, not even a hot take. Here's a medium picante take. Here's a medium salsa take. DIY, for the past 2 years, have not connected with any audience. So it's not really that big of a deal them losing the championship tonight.
Ah! I just burned my finger just touching you on the screen because that was such a hot take.
Yeah, burn. Anthony gets it. DIY just not there. Need to go back to NXT. Well, maybe not so much that, but I do think DIY now just seems very much like, guys, come cheer for me. Like, please. Very, very edge. Very, come on, guys. Listen to us. We are. Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, I can see the point that you made. So since they're not as over, does that mean they should have never been tag team champions to begin with?
You're asking the wrong guy, because I would say no with the bullet, but I can't knock anyone for giving a chance because they have the kind of experience. Grayson Waller, Aitai Dab don't need the championships to be annoying or be their characters. So sure, if they want to give them the championships, why not? But once having it, they still weren't moved the needle at any point.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. It seems like the whole plan was for DIY to win it only to lose it in like 3 weeks. So anybody out there saying like, oh, they never gave them a chance, they never this, like, I feel like this is probably a plan the entire time. So they probably went in knowing that they were going to win the championship just to lose them. My only thing is, like, I'm hoping that this doesn't set any way back like Jacob Fatu, because I feel like the team is, you know, the one that we all know, the one that we're all familiar with is Tama and Tonga, you know, the G.O.D., Gorillas of Destiny. So now you have Jacob Fatu thrown in the mix as Tama Tonga, or with Tama Tonga. Then again, like, you did have Roman Reigns coming in and being tag team champion for like a good 6 to 8 months with Seth Rollins, and look at everything, look how everything turned out. So I am kind of curious how this is going to play out. I'm hoping they don't have like a 2-year-long reign like the Usos had. But I do think this is going to play into what we end up seeing tomorrow night on SummerSlam.
And War Games. Before we get to SummerSlam predictions, do I get the answer to your trivia question now, or is it after this?
We can do it now, because I don't think it was that hard.
It was 91?
You're close.
What is it? Tell us.
What's after 91?
Well, 92.
But what's, well, 91. What was, well, 91, it was LA and New York, and then SummerSlam was in Detroit.
One more time. But what's the question
was, yeah, when was the last time, with the exception of when was the last time where there wasn't a single U.S. pay-per-view / PLE between WrestleMania and Survivor Series?
U.S. pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
93.
Oh man, SummerSlam was in Detroit, Michigan that year.
God, I quit. What is it? Tell me.
You said 91, and then you said 93, and then I said, hey, you're close on both of them.
Yeah.
So
that's called slipping on a banana peel for the gimmick. So if it's not 91, 93, which one is it?
1992. When you had SummerSlam at the Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis, but then you had Wembley Stadium host 1992 SummerSlam. And then I forgot where Rumble was. I think it was like, or Survivor Series, I think it was like Richmond, Ohio. But essentially, yeah, they went a good 7 to 8 months without a single pay-per-view in the U.S., which is a long time. But that's weird. I'm kind of curious if they're going to go back to that, because have they announced next year's SummerSlam yet? Is it, because next year is not Minneapolis. That's in 2 years, right?
That's in 26, yeah. Minneapolis, yeah. 26. So you have both Saudi Arabia and Indianapolis in the mix to host next year's SummerSlam, but it hasn't been announced yet.
That's interesting.
It's kind of weird. Indianapolis or Saudi Arabia. He's like, they're like 4,000 miles apart, but those are the ones in the mix to host next
year. I'm curious is, where's Backlash going to be? Why are you Backlash? Because Backlash seems to be the show that it gets the best crowds.
I mean, there was a bit of a thing there, but I mean, I'd be so much pressure put on somebody, right? You can't like make it an American pay-per-view anymore or PLE anymore.
Yo, my God. Like, yeah.
You can't. Like, I think Backlash has to be international waters now. Whether or not it's on a boat, if it's on the moon, it can't be in the U.S. anymore.
Like, can it even be in the Tokyo Dome?
It can be. Jose Tapote says Mexico.
If there I 1,000% think it's going to be Mexico.
Yeah, if it was a PLE in Monterrey, I'll book the flight right now.
I think that's, I mean, especially with the Mexican influence they have now, like Rey Santos, and then you're going to have Stephanie Vaquer. I'm sure she's going to have a presence at some point in the Latin market. But yeah, so much, dude, there's, yeah. Next year's Backlash. I can't wait to see where that's going to emanate from.
Well, it's now time to do our SummerSlam predictions. Wrestling Inc. has said, we want George Hermosa to let us know, who do you think is going to win this one? We'll pretty much go rapid fire. You let me know who you got and why. You down?
Rapid fire. I never agreed to that.
Basically, have you seen the promo thing? Couple of sentences. Why you think they're going to win? It doesn't have to be rapid. It'd be as slow as you want.
Got to give the air high five to Jose. Is it Jose or Jose?
What, Jose Topote? Jose Topote. I don't know. Soy and Gringo Moreno. All right, let's do this. Anyway,
thanks, Jose.
Yeah, you listo, bro. all right, SummerSlam. What SummerSlam number is this? 37. All right, wow. That's, again, I should know this. My favorite pay-per-view of the year, PLE of the year. SummerSlam 37 emanates live from Cleveland, Ohio, and the card is already stacked. Let's talk about the undisputed WWE Championship. Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare, has told Solo Sikoa he's a fake tribal chief. Who walks out the winner on the Bloodline Rules?
Wow, you're going with the main event first. I think, man, this Bloodline Rules thing really throws me off a little bit. I initially thought I was going to go with whatever you said, but Roman does not show up. But I would have thought Cody wins, but then The Rock shows up at the end. Go ahead.
So Cody wins.
If Cody wins regardless. I don't think Solo is going to be WWE champion. But I do think now Solo looks like he's going to win, and then we're going to hear Roman's theme song during the match as opposed to the end of the match. Because I'm like, how are they going to bring back Roman? You can't have Solo, or you can't have Cody standing tall and Roman come back. So now I feel like it's going to be Solo looking like he's about to win the match because of the Bloodline. And then Roman's music hits. Jimmy shows up beside him. Jay shows up beside him, followed by the payment, and then they get in it with the Bloodline, or maybe like Cody hits him with a Crossroads and then they scuffle at the end of the show. But I think Cody wins, but I do think Roman comes back.
Well, our World Heavyweight Championship is also on the line. This one here has been about class. Damian Priest has said he's fought for everything he's ever struggled for, but Gunther wants none of that. The King of the Ring takes on the man who's out of heaven, Damian Priest, live in Cleveland.
This is probably the toughest one I have to predict, because this can really go either way, with I think neither one being the wrong answer. With that said, I can go either way. We're entering a new era with Gunther, but then you have the Judgment Day element on. Because could we do the Liv Rhea first?
No.
Okay, well, because I feel like we're gonna see some kind of split amongst Judgment Day very, very soon, within the next 24 hours, and I feel like he doesn't need the championship for that.
So
I'm gonna with Damian Priest, because he's gonna be too focused on what happens there. But then it has a whole new wrinkle if he is the champion. Can you have Finn Balor? But then where does Gunther go? I'm going to go with Gunther.
Champ, I need an answer. Is it Gunther or is it David Priest?
It's so hard, but okay, Gunther. I'm going to go with Gunther.
The Ring General walks away with this one, thanks to George. But let's talk about that Women's World Championship match. The Revenge Tour from Liv Morgan is hit a new fever pitch after being dumped by Dominic Mysterio. We always talked about what happens to women scorn. She takes on Rhea Ripley in Cleveland.
The only thing that's for sure is that nothing's for sure.
Deep.
Until now. I think there is no way that Rhea beats Liv. I think Liv is going to beat Rhea with not an accidental interference, but a purposeful interference by Dominic Mysterio. And then Liv and Dom go off. Someone pointed out something very specific that I didn't notice myself. But when Liv trashed, or when somebody trashed the Judgment Day's locker room, and it looked like it was Liv Morgan, Finn Balor's face was not touched at all. So that essentially, I think that they're going to break off into their own Judgment Day while Rhea and JD as well, while Rhea and Damian fight off, that make their own Judgment Day, and then kind of battle for custody of Carlito.
Carlito ladder match. The women's WWE championship is also on the line. Bayley has said she's a fighting champion, but will have to go through the Queen of the Ring. Nia Jax has been on an absolute tear since coming back from injury. So it's Nia Jax Bayley for the WWE title.
This is, I think Nia Jax has been absolutely tremendous, not just since coming back from injury, but since coming back to the WWE period. I think she has been on such a tear. It's giving me a lot of Aja Kong vibes. Even Awesome Kong vibes. I think she is really at the top of her game. With that said, I do think there is no stopping us now. Bayley is going to retain at SummerSlam.
Bayley is always
while we celebrate on the floor.
Yeah, I never put it against Bayley. But talking about championships, the United States Championship is also on the line. The Maverick, Logan Paul, has downed one truck, but here's a chance to get a little bit of that embarrassment back. He takes on the megastar, LA Knight, on Saturday.
I think tomorrow night we're going to see a brand new United States Champion by the name of Sean Ricker. Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm a big Sean Ricker fan.
One half of the Natural Selection, L.A. Knight. Yes.
That's a deep cut. You know, stopping this down. The first time I did a ring announcing job, it was a Natural Selection. So Sean Ricker and Brian Cage.
Against the Rockness Monsters.
Against the Rockness Monsters at Mach 1W. And I practiced that thing for like 6 days. Like I was like, I had to do it. I had to do it right.
That must have been a great match, by the way. Like Rockness Monsters freaking killed it on the SoCal scene back in like the early 2010s.
Absolutely. And Yuma's still a good guy. I always hit him up for a couple of days. But talking about championships and gold on the line, the Intercontinental Championship was online as the honorary ooze. Sami Zayn has to go against the quote-unquote unpredictable badass for the second time. It's Breaker Sami Zayn at SummerSlam.
This is another tough one on who's going to win. But because of the story implications that we're going to see, with the honorary Uso, I think he needs a break off from the title scene for a little bit and at least have Braun win the IC championship. And then let's see what he can do with the championship. And he's just going to wreck house for the next 6 months. But because I think they're going to bleed a lot with Sami and Jay going on with the Bloodline story, I feel like it's going to be best if Sami is not a champion for the time being.
And this one has no gold on the line, but this one is another level. CM Punk and Drew McIntyre have been at each other's throats for months, and Seth Rollins has basically drafted himself to be in the middle of it. It is CM Punk. It is Drew McIntyre, but Seth freaking Rollins don the pinstripes.
I don't think this is going to be the end of the feud. I know CM Punk has said, you know, after SummerSlam, we are done. No more Drew, et cetera, et cetera. I do think this is the first of there are many matches they're going to have. With that said, I feel like Drew McIntyre is going to absolutely destroy CM Punk. It's not going to be like a squash, but I do feel like it's going to be a good match back and forth. But at the end of it, I do think Drew is going to pretty much put the stomp on CM Punk and get the victory.
I'm rooting for CM Punk because I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, but Jack Farmer is the biggest CM Punk hater. So I'm just here to troll him. I hope CM Punk wins.
Really? I didn't know. I didn't know he was such a hater.
He's such a CM Punk hater. You let him know.
Why?
I don't. You know what? I always tell people that you're allowed one or two people on any roster where you just kind of like, I don't have a reason. I just don't like him. I get that. I think that's his CM Punk.
Who's yours?
Sami Zayn. I don't care for Sami Zayn. I've never cared as Genetico. Haven't cared for him. But look, the guy who plays Sami Zayn, probably a doll. but the actual ska music thing, I just don't like ska music, man. It really annoys me.
Mine is Danhausen.
What? Very nice, very evil?
I don't get it.
He's very nice.
Not
very
for me. Evil. I don't get it.
Casper the Friendly Ghost, right? It's like a apparition, but it's a good person. Like Danhausen's like, you know, where do you get off with your little microphones and your headphones talking about Danhausen? I don't know. Anyway, that said, not to make it negative, I think everyone's allowed a person. You're just not really feeling it. It's okay. It's wrestling. There are a bunch of entertainers out there. I bet if I met Sami Zayn, I'll pretend like I didn't care. And I'm like, oh man, you're the best wrestler ever. Because I'm totally a mark and a shill for myself. But I'll just say, as he comes out the ska music, I go, ska music ticks me off.
So did you like when he had the heel theme music?
No.
You didn't like that one either?
I'm telling you, there's certain people that just rub you the wrong way. That's okay. No hate, no shade. It's just,
you know,
this is creatively not my thing. It's a variety show. I don't like this act. That's fine.
You know, I like that you say that because you're at least willing to admit that. There's people that like, and I've had little arguments with people that like, oh, I don't like Roman Reigns because, you know, he wears like the Shield and he comes out to the Shield music and he's like a poor baby face, whatever, you know. But then like, when he turned heel and pretty much got rid of all those things, like, oh, I don't like Roman Reigns because of the, like, no. So you didn't like him. He pretty much changed up everything that you didn't like about him, but yeah. Now you still don't like him, you know? And it's like, so somebody's lying to me, or you're lying to me or lying to yourself. So, but at least you're willing to say, no, like, I just don't like the person. You're not, you don't need to find excuses to don't like them. You're just like, hey, man, we all have that one. We all
I'm a firm believer. Like, I'm sure if you watch a bunch of wrestling podcasts, people hit me up and go, hey, man, you're not my cup of tea, but you're here every week. And I respect that. And I'm not trying to say this guy sucks. You should stop wrestling. Far from it, because I can't wrestle to save my life. But if you do entertainment, as someone who consumes entertainment and art, you as a person, you can say, I get it, but it's not for me. I'm a cup of tea. That's all it is.
I don't even like, I don't even drink tea. I don't drink coffee.
What do you drink then? What's your favorite beverage?
When I'm on a sugar rush, I usually go with like kiwi strawberry Snapple or a good old fashioned can of Inca Kola.
That is so random because some neighborhoods don't sell either of those.
Well, I mean, it's hard to find a can of Inca Kola. Except if you go to like John's, they sell like the 2 liter bottles. But yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to like, you know, be good about the LBs.
So no, I get it.
I just try to stick with water.
I just feel like the ones you picked are like something are very specific. Like,
really?
You can't get an Inca Kola like in the Midwest. You can't get it in some parts.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're out there.
They don't even know that Peru is a country. But but like, yeah, I tend to see kiwi strawberry Snapple in a lot of places. I didn't know that was so rare.
Peach Thai iced tea is my favorite, but Snapple apple is superior. It clears as
a Snapple pizza. Apple is a good, that's a very underrated. You know what I do miss though? I miss the 50 cent vitamin water.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're an old man. Yeah, see, like, I mean, we got some people out there just being honest with themselves. You know, Ricky Sinclair, for me, it's Kenny Omega. For mine is Joe Hendry. I can't stand him. I don't get it. It's not my cup of tea. It's like, yeah, not hating the guy. Get your money, Joe Hendry. Get your money, Kenny Omega. But it's cool. Yeah, George Strait, Joe Cola. Well, that's a throwback. Well, how old is he? 50?
I have no Jolt idea. I don't know what Jolt Cola is. Although
Jolt Cola?
I don't know what Jolt is.
It came out in the mid-80s. The idea was that it had twice the caffeine as Coca-Cola. And so it was supposed to give you a jolt. That's kind of the whole gimmick.
Like cocaine?
No, caffeine.
Did they put cocaine instead of the caffeine? Is that why you get an extra jolt? I remember Surge.
Yeah, so Jolt came out before Surge. So like Surge was 83 and Jolt was 86. So
although the one that I can never find anywhere is Welch's grape soda or crushed grape soda. Anything grape soda?
Yeah.
Like I that's for me.
You probably live in the suburbs. That's why you have to go to Hood for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, this is the SmackDown After Show. We're back here tomorrow. You and I are going to be combining like a tag team champions of the world to cover SummerSlam, which is my favorite PLE of the year. Can't wait. I'm so glad to be hanging out with you. But in the meantime, George, if someone wants to connect with you, tell them all their favorite wrestlers and wrestlers they can't stand, or get more trivia questions, how to go about doing that?
I mean, if you want to connect with me, you can hit me up at 213-547-7345.
Is that your real number?
Absolutely not. Everybody knows I rock the 818. You can follow me at G Hermosa, GHERMOZ. Usually I got a little Chiron down there, but I guess not today. But you can follow me at Joe Hermosa, G Hermosa on all the social medias. You can follow my YouTube channel, The Wrestling Chatter, where we see have a lot of cool things going on.
Oh, wait, I found it.
There you go. Thanks, Glenn.
They're totally gonna fire me for just doing that. I am not Glenn Rubenstein.
But I am Flobo Boyce.
That's what I am. We're back here tomorrow to cover SummerSlam. Let us know if you have any questions you want us to answer. Hang out in the chat. We'll be doing that as well. It's going to be a giant summertime party. I love it. I don't know about you, but as a kid, having our friends over and knowing full well there was no school the next day, this is why it's my favorite, hands down.
Although back in the day, SummerSlam was on Monday.
You know what? I'm not that old. But yet, you don't know what Joe Cola is. I don't know what year you were born. All right, we're getting out of here, man. Catch you guys later. Peace.
At the UPS store, we understand the importance of a first impression. That's why we're here to help you put your best foot forward and be unstoppable with our printing services. With high-quality paper stock options, banners, business cards, venues, and more, we make sure your small business stands out and your message reaches the masses. After all, we're the one-stop print that pop store. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today and get your print on.